This is Dr. Stan here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and the views of our guests. And this afternoon, we have as our very special guest, Holly Swanson, who we haven't talked to for quite some time, but we've carried her book for a long time. It's called Set Up and Sold Out. And of course, Holly runs something known as Operation Greenout, trying to reach the educational system to get the environmental indoctrination out of our schools, because our children are not being educated. They're being indoctrinated in internationalism and socialism and environmentalism. And of course, the solution to every environmental problem is a new series of government laws to take away our freedom. Holly Swanson, how are you today? Holly, are you there? Holly Swanson? Well, I thought we had Holly, and maybe we'll get her back on here in a moment or two. Anyway, Holly has done a tremendous job going into the background of the environmental movement and this whole scam of global warming. Holly?
Yes, good afternoon. How are you, Dr. Stan?
I'm doing fine. We haven't talked for some time. Well, how are you doing with the efforts to get into the schools and to get these kids at least to hear both sides of the issue?
Well, as far as getting both sides of the issues told, that is still an uphill battle. How we are doing as far as raising public awareness about what the problem is with the Education for Sustainability programs is going very well. And for first-time listeners who might not have a background, the book, Set Up and Sold Out, is the book that I wrote, which exposes how the environmental cause is being used to advance the political agenda of the global green parties. Education for Sustainability, which is also documented in the book, is the green plan, basically to get their agenda into the schools, taught as part of the curriculum, and essentially brainwash our children to follow this agenda. And that is what we are diligently working to expose, this deception, this underhanded plan to the American people. And we're receiving a tremendous response to this. The more people know, the more concerned they become, Dr. Stan.
All right, fine. Now, how are you getting the word out, and how are you reaching people? Because, you know, this is the biggest thing. How do we get people aware of the fact they've been lied to?
Well, many ways, through writing articles, through radio programs such as this. If we didn't have these kind of communication tools, we would not have the ability to reach as many people as quickly. In addition to that, speaking engagements across the country, different groups are becoming more and more active and starting to make this a focal point of their activism, which is very helpful. One of the things that has been extremely helpful is the defined goals by the Education for Sustainability movement, again, is to pinpoint exactly what they're doing with this program. And one of the main leaders of this Education for Sustainability program put it very concisely. He said, "And humans are guided by a whole set of beliefs and values, and those come from culture, from religion, from social, economic, and political structure, and we need to change all of those."
Well, I think that they're doing a very, very good job. And certainly the one thing they've targeted is the minds of our children. And so many of them really believe in this myth of global warming without understanding that this is simply a scam. You know, certainly this global warming has been going on since the 1600s. Yes, the polar ice caps are melting on Mars. Both polar ice caps are melting on Mars. Is that because of, you know, greenhouse gases produced by fossil fuel emissions? And of course not. It all has to do with the sun and the solar cycles we go through. Greenland is called green because 1,000 years ago it was green and lush, and then of course the cold time came, and now we're starting to warm up again. But it doesn't matter how ridiculous something is. If you say it often enough, people will believe.
When you're looking to build a new facility, there's a lot riding on your shoulders. You have to get a structure that meets your needs. You need one that's built to last. You need to get it built quickly. And most importantly, you need it to stay within budget. What you need is a pre-engineered steel building from Anthem Steel. You won't believe how much you'll save in both time and money with a brand new built-to-last steel building. For free information on how you can get the building you need with less time and money, call 1-800-771-1934. You can even customize your building. You select the size, you select the style. You can even choose to add the look of brick, stucco, or stone. Building a new facility is a big responsibility. Make it easier by calling Anthem Steel. Achieve your goals faster and with less strain on your budget. For free information, call Anthem Steel at 1-800-771-1934. Call Anthem Steel today, 1-800-771-1934. That's 1-800-771-1934.
Black Berkey purification elements are more powerful than any gravity filter element on the market. These awesome elements are used in Berkey purification systems, and they can also be used to upgrade most other gravity filtration systems. They can purify raw, untreated water by removing pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, trihalomethanes, and chemicals such as chlorine, atrazine, styrene, and MTBE. These elements also reduce unwanted heavy metals such as lead, mercury, and aluminum. Unbelievably, they even remove small microparticulate from water like food coloring particles. Yet, they leave in the nutritional minerals that your body needs. Moreover, because they are recleanable, Black Berkey elements are more economical than the standard disposable elements, providing fresh, pure water for less than 2 cents per gallon.
Get a 2-pack for only $99 or a 4-pack for only $188 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
September 11th, 2001 changed the world, and the world is now realizing that the official story of that infamous day just doesn't make sense. The overwhelming majority of Americans believe that there is a government cover-up, according to a CNN poll. 9/11 in plain sight, the director's cut is a compilation of unaltered news footage and photos from major networks and publications that raises questions that officials dare not ask, let alone answer. The worldwide firestorm of questions raised has forced some into a position of desperation damage control to keep this documentary from being seen or accepted by the masses. Why have these efforts been made to keep you from seeing this documentary and simply asking common sense questions? Find out. You must see 9/11 in plain sight, the director's cut, and share it with as many people as possible. Call 877-817-9829 to order your copy. That's 877-817-9829. Unless these questions are answered honestly, the world could be plunged into a third world war. Stop this madness. Call 877-817-9829 today and order your copy of 9/11 in plain sight, the director's cut.
Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and of course our guest is Holly Swanson. And Holly, you pick up the story. We were just talking about how you're reaching people with this story and trying to make them understand what's going on in our schools. So you pick up the story.
Well, what you were just mentioning before the break is about global warming, and that if you repeat a lie often enough, people will believe it. And unfortunately, with global warming, Senator James Inhofe, actually fortunately, Senator James Inhofe from Oklahoma has been doing a terrific job of dispelling the myth about global warming. But unfortunately, that myth and the scare tactics associated with it, the Greens are pushing in our schools big time nationwide, scaring our children into compliance, scaring them into the submission basically to the Greens' agenda. And that's a tremendous problem. And many parents, when you're talking about how are we getting it out there and talking to groups, parents are well aware that their children are being scared. They're well aware that some of them are losing their children to environmental activism due to these scare tactics. We call it, of course, in the book, eco-child abuse, because it's twisting environmental issues and using our concern for the environment to advance a political agenda most Americans are not aware of. And one of the things I think that is so important about this is that the green agenda is on, as I read the quote there, on the religious level, on the cultural level, on the social level, the economic level, as well as to change our political structure. And as the Education for Sustainability movement is advancing this, the goal is to push these Green Party ideas into every level of education, from preschool through university, which would mean our children would be indoctrinated to believe these things, and there would be no way out if we do not put an end to this and get our schools back to a non-political curriculum.
And I agree with you totally. I mean, our schools are not used to teach reading, writing, and arithmetic, because if that was what they were really trying to do, they're doing an incredibly poor job. When our kids graduate from high school, they can't compete on these basic things with kids from other countries. But they're using our educational system not to educate but to indoctrinate.
Absolutely, absolutely. And one of the goals of this Education for Sustainability is to diminish, one of their stated goals actually is to diminish the value of individual success. And when we send our children to school, our precious children, certainly most parents would not agree that diminishing the value of that child's individual drive, their self-esteem, and their individual success is the goal that we as taxpayers are paying for. And these are our schools, these are our children, we need to be involved, and we need to get green politics out of our schools and fast.
Well, of course, the thing is that the other side has been very, very clever. They have got their people on school boards all across America.
You are correct.
They put a great deal of money into, because if they can control the school board, they can influence what's being taught, and then they can control the minds of the children. That's why when you get conservatives on a school board, they will come after them with everything that they possibly have, spending hundreds of thousands of dollars sometimes to get, you know, a couple of seats on a school board. But you see, they understand how important the mind of the children is. And, of course, behind, you know, these people on the radical left are certainly, and the environmentalists are people of great wealth who are using environmentalism for their own purpose. And most of the environmentalists aren't even smart enough to realize that.
There's many people, many, many people that have jumped on the quote-unquote environmental bandwagon and have no idea that as they're promoting the sustainability or education for sustainability, actually what they're promoting. We had a retired teacher mention that just last week at a event, that they had no idea that this was going on. And that's why it's our job to, as you do all the time, and we do our best to do, to educate the public that behind, you know, the environmental cause is a political movement. And the political movement is the Green Movement or Green Party. And if we truly care about the environment, we need to absolutely pay attention to this, not only from the standpoint of our children, but because the agenda of that Green Movement mirrors communism. And if we truly care about the environment, we certainly do not want to follow a socialist or communist agenda. That hasn't worked out very well from an environmental standpoint. And certainly if we value our freedom and free thought for our children, we absolutely must get this agenda out of our schools. And we can't be afraid to mention the word socialism or communism. For heaven's sakes, this is America. We debate everything, and we need to debate this.
And, of course, anybody who knows anything about the socialists and the communists know that they're pushing the environmental movement, and that's why people like Al Gore, who is fabulously wealthy, and his family is fabulously wealthy, and they're pushing this whole incredible lie. You know, he wants to give you the idea that he's so rational and they're so concerned about the people and the environment, and they're really not, you know. These people are some of the most wasteful ones in the world, and they have their own private jets, and they burn all that kerosene and pollute all the environment, and I'm not against jets at all, but, I mean, these people give hypocrisy a bad name, and that's the big problem with it.
Well, I think that there's definitely a hypocrisy, and one of the most interesting examples, and of course we use this in the book Set Up and Sold Out, is that if you are really looking at the natural environment and you are looking at how things work and how nature works, the idea that the Greens are pushing that our children, you know, by the time they're 8, should be writing opinion letters to Congress or getting out there and getting involved in an environmental issue and being politically active. If truly the Greens cared about our children and cared about the natural world, they would look at the fact that the parent, not the child, should be involved in that. And 8-year-old children don't drive cars, they don't vote, they should not be writing opinion letters. It is a conditioning process, and the lioness does not have a cub and then turn around and tell the cub, now you go out and you hunt and you get dinner. No, she nurtures and teaches that child, as parents nurture and teach our children. And the Greens have it backwards because it is not about the environment. It is about using our concern for the environment to advance a political agenda and indoctrinate our children. And this is, you had mentioned it earlier, this is a copycat political strategy. It's happened before. Lenin, Vladimir Lenin, the father of communism, said, give us your child for 8 years, basically they'll be a communist forever. That is why the Greens are targeting, literally targeting our schools and our children, which reminds me so much of this particular Bioneers conference that was held, a very green political conference in the Bay Area. And one of their sessions was titled Educators Forum, Educating Our Children for a Sustainable World. But the beginning sentence in that really is telling. When we realize that kindergartners will vote in 12 short years, the impact education has on the future of our world snaps into focus. Now, you're not going to be worrying about how kindergartners are going to vote unless you're planning to shape how they vote. And that's what this agenda is all about, teaching our children to eat green, live green, worship green, and vote green. That's why we've got to get these political agendas out of our schools immediately.
Well, I'm sure, running into tremendous opposition from the radicals on the school boards, aren't you?
Well, there's definitely opposition out there, but, you know, basically the facts speak for themselves. Our schools were not designed to be political transmission belts, basically, for any political party, and certainly our children should not be scared into political activism. And whether it be Earth Day or the Earth Charter, which you are familiar with, teaching these things and promoting these things, whatever Earth Day started out to be, right now it's a political tool for the Greens. The Earth Charter, basically, which I don't know how much time we have, but basically that's it's a little platform for the Greens that is currently being taught across the country. Not in every school, of course, but there are many schools where the Earth Charter is being promoted as a sustainable education tool. And for those who don't know about the Earth Charter, let me just digress here a little bit. The Earth Charter is a political document. It is a set of 16 very vague but specific, in some generalities, document written by, co-authored by Mikhail Gorbachev, whose goals basically mirror the goals of the Green Party. It is part of the Green Party platform. It is being promoted and has been selected by the Education for Sustainability activists as a tool to teach our children how to live and believe sustainably, to change their behavior. Well, this is a constitutional issue. The Earth Charter is designed to become law, and right now it's been adopted by actually a city council in Oregon to become soft law. So we have a situation here we need to address right away. Wouldn't you agree, Dr. Stan?
Oh, I do. But the thing is that the Earth Charter is actually suggesting a new spirituality.
Absolutely.
And of course, and now how can they possibly be advocating spirituality if you can't, talk about God? How can you talk about this spirituality, which is what this whole thing is all about?
Well, you can't, if you are presenting this as part of the environmental curriculum, which is how the Earth Charter is being presented as steps to a sustainable world, then the fact that it has a spiritual ideology, a political philosophy in it, is just being swept under the carpet. That's why it is so imperative that we all, everyone listening, get involved and help get this underhanded agenda out in the open so that people can understand. It's what we found is it's not that people don't care as we travel the country, it's that people don't know. And we just have to make it our personal priority to help more people understand. Tell our families, share stuff and sold out with our pastors, our school board members, our elected representatives. If we do that and we all work together on it, we can get this issue out in the open.
Well, I really think the Earth Charter is so very important because you really can't understand really what's going on today, why they're actually encouraging illegal immigration, why they're shipping our jobs overseas, and why they're certainly shipping our manufacturing overseas, unless you understand point 10, which states very, very clearly, this is point 10 of the Earth Charter that says, promote the equitable distribution of wealth.
Absolutely.
Within nations and among nations.
That's
now, how
exactly
are you going
right.
to do that? Well, you're going to do that by getting rid of our jobs and getting rid of our factories. That's how you promote equitable distribution of wealth within the nations, among nations. Now, they're not going to, get rid of the wealth of the very wealthy. They're going to destroy the middle class. That's what this says, point 10A of the Earth Charter. which most people have never heard of, but one of the most important documents in the world today. We'll be right back. Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you, and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
More than 700 chemicals have been found in our drinking water. And did you know that you can have greater exposure to these chemicals by taking hot showers than when you drink the water? That's because many chemicals are inhaled when they evaporate, and others are absorbed through the skin. The KDF shower filter is designed to reduce chlorine, lead, mercury, and iron, and it inhibits the growth of bacteria, mold, algae, and fungus in your shower. The media is non-toxic, environmentally sound, and is recyclable. The KDF shower filter will typically last 10,000 gallons or 1 year, whichever comes first. Hospitals, restaurants, and water treatment facilities use this media to reduce chlorine, iron, heavy metals, and bacteria. What about you? Order your KDF shower filter, normally $49, for our special price of only $35, a $14 savings. Call now to order at 1-888-803-4438. Order today and save $14 by calling 1-888-803-4438.
Ted Anderson from Midas. It's November 29th, 2006. Gold's at $635.60, and 1 ounce gold coins can be purchased for $650, $647, $330.48 for half, and $165.39 for quarter ounce coins. That's $650, $647, $330.48, and $165.39. On June 4th, 1963, an unknown presidential decree, Executive Order 11110, was signed with the authority to strip the Federal Reserve Bank of its power to lend money to the United States government and interest. With the stroke of a pen, Kennedy would have put the Fed out of business. The November assassination quieted the production of the new currency. However, the executive order still stands unrepealed. Midas has the Kennedy versus Fed document. Call 800-686-2237. Unlike your liberty, the paper is free. Call 800-686-2237. If you're interested in breaking the bondage of taxation and debt, call 800-686-2237.
People who use Cartabite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartabite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartabite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, in herbal formulas like Cartabite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at www.heartdrop.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Here at the Genesis Communication Network, and I was just looking at the Earth Charter. Point 14 really is so applicable about what Holly is talking about. Now, this is point 14 of the Earth Charter. Integrate into the formal education and lifelong learning the knowledge, values, and skills needed for a sustainable way of life. Provide all, especially the children and youth, with educational opportunities that empower them to contribute actively to sustainable development. Now, that's really environmentalism and more government control. Point B, promote the contribution of the arts and humanities as well as the science of sustainable education enhance the role of mass media in raising awareness of educational and social challenges, and recognize the importance of moral and spiritual education for mm-hmm. sustainable living. Mm-hmm. Boy, what does that sound like?
Well, yes, it's every aspect of your life, and who decided?
The elite, Stephen Rockefeller, Mikhail Gorbachev, and Marie Strong, all of them deeply involved in the occult. This is what everybody has missed. All of them deeply involved in the occult.
And the Green Party agenda, as this relates directly to this, the Earth Charter is part of the Green Party platform, and part of the Green Party agenda, just a couple of them, is to eliminate the politically motivated edition of Under God and the Pledge of Allegiance, along with getting, for example, the Ten Commandments and things like that out of public buildings. And when you have that agenda, you know, that particular move, along with the Earth Charter, you have a small group of elitists deciding what the future of our country is going to be, what our children's beliefs are going to be, and to use education literally as a tool, as it was used in Russia, as it is being used in Cuba, as it was used in Nazi Germany, as a tool to indoctrinate children. And many people involved in the sustainability movement do not understand the political agenda behind it, but they need to. And when you look at the Earth Charters, you're talking about these very, very specific things associated with the Earth Charter. When you talk about the Earth Charter lesson plans for children, one of them is that the Earth Charter must become law for all countries and all people. This is what our little children are going to be learning. Not that the Constitution of the United States, but the Earth Charter. And one of the goals of the Earth Charter is to become a common standard by which the conduct of all individuals, organizations, businesses, governments, and transnational institutions is to be guided and assessed. The only way you can guide and assess an individual action or an organization's action or a government action is to have the power to do so. And if it becomes international law, or the children believe it should be the law of our land and of the American people, there you have it. That's why they're targeting children, the brainwashing to achieve this level of compliance among our children and subservience.
And I think it's really so interesting. They tried to get the Earth Charter ratified back in 1992, and they couldn't. They reworked it. They tried to get it ratified in Johannesburg in 2002, and they almost did. But fortunately, there was some opposition there, so it was not ratified by the United Nations, so it would become the supranational law of the world. But it is being implemented all across the world, and specifically here in the United States.
And through education.
Right.
In other words, the parents don't understand what's happening to their children because this is an underhanded move. There's no other word for it. And it is a political strategy to leverage our schools, use our classrooms, literally use our children to advance a political agenda. If they cared about the children, they would never be doing this to their spirit, to basically rob them of their hearts, their individuality. The Greens, it's about power. It's not about pollution. It's not about protecting the children. It's not about protecting the environment. It is a political strategy, and when we look at it that way, we can take active steps to get it out of our schools. And it's very important to mention also at this point that there's a chart, as I know you're familiar with, Dr. Stan, on page 382 of the book Set Up and Sold Out. And it compares the ideas that Lenin promoted to sell communism, sell the concept of communism, and the same wording that the Green Party uses, and the same wording that the Earth Charter uses. And basically, they're all the same. It is no surprise that Mikhail Gorbachev would be involved in this, because the language of the Earth Charter, again, mirrors socialism and communism, and they're targeting children, because children do not know what makes a society work or not work. They do not know how precious their freedom is. They do not know the value of free thought. That's why we must protect them. This is our job. This is our mission. It is one of the most important issues of our time. We can turn it around. And earlier you mentioned that this is part of a spiritual effort as well, and certainly it is. There's an article just in the paper yesterday. Is God green? It just is. It's penetrating our society.
Well, if he is, he probably did. Anyway, what a sacrilegious thing to say. We'll be right back with Holly Swanson.
This broadcast is available on MP3 CD format at GCNLive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645.
We understand that decisions related to health can be overwhelming. That is why at ResearchedHerbs.com we take pride in offering you herbs whose safety and effectiveness have been proven time and time again. For example, did you know that Live 52, the top-selling natural herbal supplement for liver diseases since 1930, is backed by over 300 research studies and clinical trials and prescribed by more than 200,000 health professionals worldwide? In fact, the effectiveness of all the herbs featured on ResearchedHerbs.com, including those for cholesterol, blood pressure, diabetes, arthritis, cirrhosis, and hepatitis, among others, is extremely well documented. Our website, ResearchedHerbs.com, was created to empower you with the information and answers you need to make the right health decisions. Researched and proven herbs at great prices. Visit us online at ResearchedHerbs.com or call 1-800-845-3841 for more information. That's 1-800-845-3841.
Terrorism, chemical attacks, dirty bombs, fallout, biological attack, anthrax, and to top it all off, duct tape and plastic. Alarming words for our time. But how do you protect your family during such a crisis? The video Sheltering in Place, Surviving Acts of Terrorism from Biological, Chemical, and Radioactive Fallout was developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government. Anyone can follow the simple instructions. It's presented by a housewife as they walk you step by step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. If you're not the type who waits till it's too late, then you need the video Sheltering in Place. Get the critical information you need now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at murkywater.com.
Could you be the next high-tech millionaire? The inventor of Caller ID, the digital answering machine, and picture-in-picture has taken his newest, unique, cutting-edge inventions and removed them from corporate America and is looking for people like you to market these products. Paul Zane Pilzer, the author of the book The Next Millionaires, who predicted the dot-com and the boom of the wellness industry, has now said there will be 10 million millionaires created between 2006 and 2016 in the technology industry. Those that work from home distributing technology products will have the first shot at success. This company has a successful 23-year track record and needs people like you who want to earn a considerable extra sum of money each month. Check out our solid, reputable company and learn how you can tap into this trillion-dollar industry. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Call today, 682-518-0096. That's 682-518-0096. Or visit the website 2006breakthrough.com. Again, that's 2006breakthrough.com.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is Holly Swanson. Her book is Set Up and Sold Out, which we do carry. But I want Holly to put out her website and so people would know how to get in touch with her and her ministry. Holly, want to get your website information out?
Sure. Actually, what I'd like to do is encourage people, especially if you are aware of the Earth Charter or Education for Sustainability in your schools, what's going on in your schools, please let us know. And I would like to encourage you to email us at greenout, one word, G-R-E-E-N-O-U-T, at earthlink.net. That would be absolutely the best way to get in touch with us and get the latest information. And
all right, one
also
more
let
time
us know what's going on in your area.
One more time here, the email address.
It's greenout at earthlink.net.
All right, and Holly and her husband are at this full time, totally dedicated to trying to educate the American people about this subject. I think it's so important. For instance, there's probably not more than one in a thousand Americans who understands that Earth Day just happens to be Lenin's birthday. Do you honestly think that that is an accident? Of course not. They laugh at how stupid we are. And of course, the tragedy is we're not stupid. It's just that we're not educated because they've an intentional effort to dumb down the American people. And then, of course, behind the communists are these people of great wealth who are using communism to push their collectivist or communist agenda. What's communism? It is centralization of power in the hands of a few people using an awful lot of foolish idealists who think that they're fighting the wicked, the people of great wealth. At the same time, they're being used by the very people that they think they're fighting. They really don't understand what it's all about, but it's not going to matter to you and I who's in charge when our freedom is lost. And simply remember that tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. And we're moving rapidly towards tyranny. They're bringing in all sorts of new legislation, not to deal with Islamic terrorism, but to control the American people. And I think, well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you'd like to give us a call, you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. And I guess it's Holly Swanson, her book Set Up and Sold Out, and she's on the front lines of this effort to try to get this indoctrination out of our educational system. A process that is raping the minds of our children, frightening them to death. Oh, my goodness. You know, pretty soon when all those polar ice caps melt north and south, where we'll be flooding all the coastal communities. In fact, you'll hardly be able to see the top of the Empire State Building above the water level in New York. And I've actually seen the pictures in the books that they give to our children showing just the top of the Empire State Building sticking out above the water. Why are they lying to our children? Because this is all certainly a vast lie. And as I said earlier, why is Greenland called Greenland? Because 1,000 years ago, it was lush and green. How could that have been? I guess there were too much driving at that too. Time, maybe if they just controlled greenhouse emissions, why, of course, Greenland wouldn't have been so green. Well, Collie, you go ahead and pick up the story.
Well, I think what you're talking about with global warming is so important. That certainly is a big push right now in the education for sustainability agenda. Not only is the curriculum designed to indoctrinate our children by changing the mission of public education to basically use every subject every day from preschool through the university to indoctrinate our children, but also with the added fear, it's indoctrination by repetition. Systematic indoctrination, as I just explained, isn't enough. They have added literally the fear factor, which is whether it is global warming or the fact that our children need to become vegetarians, they need to buy used furniture, they need to have their lives controlled, or basically the end of the earth is occurring. And unfortunately, children in kindergarten believe this. And if they see a documentary like Al Gore's documentary, it scares them to death, and they say, oh my, this is what we have to do. And unfortunately, that is a very underhanded approach to gaining political power, but the Greens don't seem to mind that approach. That is where they're targeting. They're targeting our children. And in the book Set Up and Sold Out, I was looking at this as we were talking earlier, and the quote is, this is from Communism, What It Is and How It Works, a book actually that was written in 1964 that applies so true to today. The quote from these authors says, teachers in the United States refrain from interjecting political bias in their classroom work and would be severely criticized if they used their teaching to promote personal political views. In the USSR, however, only one political point of view, Marxism-Leninism, is permitted, and teachers are expected to present it to their pupils. For this reason, even sentences used to teach principles of grammar, word problems in arithmetic, and many others will serve to reinforce communist ideology. This is exactly copycat politics. It's exactly what the Greens are promoting. Not the fact that in the United States teachers should refrain from using their classrooms to advance political ideas, but the idea that even grammar would be used to reinforce the ideology. In other words, in education for sustainability, math, science, English, you name whatever subject it is, will be used to teach sustainability. And sustainability is the core principle of the Green Party. This is the general concept that Hitler used. It's the general concept that Lenin used. Go to school, teach the kids, control the nation. And that's why the Greens are after and targeting our children. it, again, is one of the most important issues of our time. And once people understand what the ramifications are, I believe that people will take action. And, again, educating people with the books set up and sold out, with programs such as these, giving people tools, and then sharing those tools with others, like our pastors, our elected officials, our school board members, that's the way we're going to get it turned around.
Well, our telephone number, 1-800-259-5791. What luck have you had with the ministers? Are they aware of what's going on? And do they really feel that we have to be involved in what's going on? Or so many of them, rather liberal and think, well, my goodness, aren't we supposed to be the custodians of the earth? Doesn't, the Bible tell us, to be good stewards? And I know that the radicals are moving or working within the religious community to push exactly the things that you and I are both concerned about.
Mm-hmm. And you are correct. The issue that, or the challenge, I guess I would call it, that we have to face is that the Greens have been promoting this idea for years, and gradually shifting the focus from creator to creation in congregations and among religious leaders across the nation. There is a specific purpose for that. Again, it's political, to not only green the religious vote, but to also get into the congregations, make green seem a friendly and desirable term, and again, gradually shift the focus from creator to creation. That is why it is so essential that our religious leaders, our pastors, have this information, not only in set up and sold out, but exactly what's going on with education for sustainability, which we can help them with, to show how and why this political movement is doing what they're doing and why our religious leaders and our churches are a target as well. It is to shift the focus from creator to creation very gradually. And it's by, just as I said in this article, is God green? It is encouraging people, because of global warming, to everybody go out and, as a congregation, buy a different kind of light bulb, because that will help global warming. Well, if you don't know the facts on global warming, you can watch Al Gore's movie or Al Gore's documentary and be very concerned. That was the impetus for this article, watching, having the church leaders watch this movie. They all became scared, and now they're saying that they're going to be a quote-unquote progressive church and be green. Well, progressive is also a buzzword, according to the Greens, for... basically, it's a communist word, it's a socialist word, it's a progressive mentality. Progressive doesn't mean that every time it's used, but certainly in this political sense, it basically is a buzzword for advancing a very radical agenda. And that's why we truly need to educate our religious leaders so that they can recognize and make critical distinctions between green politics and an atheist worldview, a pantheist worldview, a paganistic worldview, and being literally guided down that path, versus being able to look at this and saying, okay, this makes sense, this is something that we do to care for and be good stewards of and have dominion over, versus this is how we're being led down the garden path. We've got to be aware.
I think it's amazing, when you realize that almost the entire media is lying to the American people, and all they're telling us, my goodness, the ice caps are melting, and yes, the ice caps are melting some, and then they cover back over in the wintertime. Well, there is global warming, but it's a very small amount of global warming, and this has happened time and time again over the last 6,000 years. There's nothing new under the sun, other than the fact that the sun is what really determines the climates, that and whatever the government might be doing with some of their bizarre experiments. And HAARP and certainly the chemtrails and all of these things. But certainly we're the environmentalists when we need them, when we talk about chemtrails and HAARP and these other things that are interfering with the environmental cycles. And suddenly, we're finding out suddenly cold, freezing cold. I mean, it's colder up in Seattle than it's ever been before. And where's the call from the environmentalists saying, hey, how can it be colder than ever before when we've got all this global warming? And, it doesn't matter. You can show to the people, how much colder it is in many parts of our country right now. But they'll point to that, but during the summer it was hotter than ever before. Well, it wasn't hotter than ever before. Back in the 30s, we had an economic, really a hot spell. We had the Dust Bowl. We certainly, so much of the land there in Oklahoma and that part of the country just dried up and blew away, and the farmers couldn't make a make a living, and so many of them came to the California. We used to call them Okies, and they worked in the fields, and then they got ahead, and eventually they just entered the workforce, and of course the economy came back during the Second World War. But people have to understand climates go in cycles, and you go from hot times to cool times, you go from wet times to dry times. But what they're doing is trying to scare us.
Exactly.
Because if they can get us scared, then we will go along with the increased government regulation and give up our individual freedom so that we can live in a sustainable world.
As defined by the Greens, I think that's a critical point, is that we can live in a sustainable world as defined by a handful of elitists and the Green Party. And if you're going to have a democratic process, it should be something that everybody is on the same page, all the facts are on the table, and that's not what's happening. What's happening is very similar to what you just described. The press has been called upon to be basically the Greens' ideological weapon. Go out and put this information forward and convince the people that this is what's happening. While some people are focused on that, the Greens basically are focused on brainwashing our kids. And that's why we've got to shift this spotlight over to what's going on in our schools. And of course, global warming and the fear of global warming is part of this indoctrination process, but we really need to focus on our young people. It is not a cliche that they are the future of our country, and if we don't protect their minds and we don't protect their hearts and we allow this to continue and this curriculum to go through, it's not done yet, and we can stop it. If we allow it to go through, then we are going to lose this generation of Americans. We will lose our legacy of freedom, because certainly as the Greens define sustainability, it mirrors communism, and they will not live in the kind of America that each and every one of us has grown up with and enjoyed. And in, as you were talking about the press, I just have to add this one thing. I was speaking to a reporter just last week, and he was saying, well, you know, this is a theory. And I said, no, it's no different than the Love Canal. If you're going to do the research, this is an investigation. We need to go from point A to point B to point C and take a look at what's right and what's wrong here and get all the facts on the table. And that's what we need to do. And we need to challenge our political leaders to get involved if they're not involved. We need to challenge the press to do their job, do their journalistic duty, and dig into this. And what's happening is we're just getting a surface. It's an easy story. Global warming. I mean, it's an easy story. We need to challenge them to do more. We need to challenge our religious leaders to do more. Read the book Set Up and Sold Out. Purchase it from Radio Liberty. Use it as a tool. Give it away as a Christmas present. It's a tool to educate yourself and others on what's going on, and most of all, a tool to get involved in this education issue and education for sustainability. And again, I can't emphasize enough, if you have the Earth Charter in your school, if you have education for sustainability programs in your school, let us know, because we need to know where you are and what's happening so that we can continue our work and help get this out of our schools.
Amen. I agree with you. You know, one of the leaders of this whole movement is Prince Charles, the sustainable prince, and he is pushing this whole sustainable development agenda, and he's going to be, traveling more on the bicycle, the royal bicycle, and he'll see the royal train ahead, but he's going to kind of ride the bicycle as an example for all of us. And what they really want to do is lower our living standards and get us out of cars onto bicycles.
That's right. It's definitely a control mechanism. It's directly out of the Green Party agenda. I remember years ago when we were first talking, and we were talking specifically about the green agenda that you need to walk or bike or use a skateboard. And originally when we were talking, some individuals thought, well, you know, that would never happen. And yet, that is mainstream what is being suggested as a sustainable lifestyle.
I live, of course, in Santa Cruz, they're narrowing the roads and putting in bicycle paths on both sides. And hardly anybody uses them, but that's all right. They know that down the line they're going to force people onto bicycles. We're going to have an economy just like they had in Beijing 10 to 15 years ago.
Precisely.
And as the industrial capacity of our country moves to China, we'll become more and more like Beijing was. And people say that's crazy talk. Well, you only need to read the Earth Charter if you don't have a copy. Why, you can get it off the Internet. If you can't get it there, we'll be glad to send you one free of charge. Read it. Understand what they're talking about is the destruction of our economy. Equitable distribution of wealth within nations, well, that's communism. equitable distribution of wealth between nations. That's exactly what's going on
today.
That's
right. World communism, the goal has remained the same. And just because, you know, we can see or have been led to believe that communism is dead, it is not dead. It is alive and well, and we need to recognize it and remember what it is and remember the danger and threat it poses to freedom. We need to remember that. And what you made me laugh a minute ago when you were talking about that, that this was crazy talk years ago, but it's not. Look at it. It's actually happening, and it's not funny. When you see these little kids parroting the Green Party agenda, timing their parents' shower, pushing the vegetarian diet in their home, pushing this activism, it's not funny. This is exactly, unfortunately, mirrors what happened in Nazi Germany. This doesn't mean that everybody pushing sustainability is a Nazi, but the ideology and the political strategy behind teaching our children to be little political activists mirrors that, and we can't afford to let that happen.
Amen. Well, our guest has been Holly Swanson. Holly, thank you so much for being with us. It's always a pleasure, and we'll look forward to having you. I think you're going to be with us tomorrow morning on our early morning program. Anyway, God bless. We'll talk to you later. Give my best to CW. Bye-bye.
America Discount Home Medical Equipment sells at discount prices. We sell wheelchairs, oxygen equipment, hospital beds, commodes, fast safety products, walkers, and other items needed for the care of your loved one at home. Our phone number is 1-800-956-6616. We sell at one half of retail price or less. We have free shipping and no sales tax for any shipment outside of California. You can expect to receive the item within 7 days. Our website address is www.home-med-equip.com. Again, our phone number is 1-800-956-6616.
Nuclear reactors provide economical energy, but would you be prepared during an accident? During nuclear disasters, great amounts of radioactive iodine are released into the atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical Corps' potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning. Potassium iodate can protect against radioactive poisoning by filling the thyroid with good iodine. This shields the thyroid and prevents it from absorbing the harmful radioactive iodine. Potassium iodate is better than the iodide form because it is not as likely to cause upset stomachs in children, the elderly, the sick, and pets. Order the official potassium iodate for only $24 and save $5 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Call now and get free shipping. That's 888-803-4438.
Send your loved one a timeless treasure this Christmas. Get the book, The Magic Christmas Reindeer Bell. Set in a simpler time in rural America, when a father and son could harvest their Christmas tree without the fear of being accosted by a UN eco-goon squad. When a mother could prepare her family's holiday meal without worries of chemical-laden, genetically modified foods. A time when a man could travel the roads freely without paying tolls to foreign monarchies. The Magic Christmas Reindeer Bell, a holiday adventure, is a wonderful tale in which the adventure and the danger are real. And the joy of Christmas comes from the hearts of a small, humble family, rather than a big-box department store. Written by Steve Culver, fellow Patriot and GCN listener. Get your copy, The Magic Christmas Reindeer Bell, a holiday adventure. Available at Amazon.com or AuthorHouse.com, or by calling 1-888-280-7715. That's 1-888-280-7715. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and certainly we carry Holly Swanson's excellent book, Set Up and Sold Out. We actually have my talks on sustainable development. You can get them on video or the 4-tape set. And then we have a great syllabus. There's nothing quite like it because it has the Earth Charter and certainly goes into the population control agenda and the Georgia Guidestones. And you'll get a summary of the Global Biodiversity Assessment Report and the World Bank Water Policy. They're going to control everything. They're going to control water. They're going to control certainly the population. It's all about control. Let me suggest you get the Sustainable Development Syllabus, and you'll get it at a reduced price if you get either the video or four-tape set that comes with it. But we hope you'll want to get all of them together, the four-tape set, the video, and the Sustainable Development Syllabus. You need to understand what is really going on in the world and then help us expose this while we still can. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, behind all of this are dark and sinister spiritual forces. And if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, why, you really should. We need, of course, to get that information out about the spiritual forces behind what's going on. If you'd like to get the items we mentioned, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927 for Holly's excellent book, Set Up and Sold Out. My talk, it's a video on sustainable development, the road to the New World Order, the 4-tape set on sustainable development, and the syllabus on sustainable development, and my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Then we want to mention and remind you that we're trying to get a Dr. Dennis Cuddy's book, Secret Records Revealed, reprinted. And, of course, you can get a full case of the books for $149.95 plus shipping if you order them now and before we actually get them printed. So if you call us and give your Visa card, we won't mail it, of course, until we've raised the money to actually go ahead, and we're coming along. But it's a slow process, especially this time of year. But we're going to be able to do this, and we're going to reproduce Dr. Cuddy's book. It's almost 300 pages. The Secret Records Revealed is going to have an index, going to have an epilogue. It's one of the best books because it will really explain to you how this whole thing is going together, and you'll get the quotations from these people. They're quite open in what they're saying. It's just that the media is controlled, and you're never going to understand. There is a program to create a world dictatorship and destroy what was once the land of the free and the home of the brave. So if you'd like to get Secret Records Revealed, of course you can wait until we get it printed and get a copy at about three times the price, or certainly order a case of them right now for $149.95. And, of course, you'll be helping Dr. Cuddy, and you'll be helping us. Then, of course, we want to mention, of course, that I believe we're moving into some very, very difficult times. If you haven't made arrangements to get, you know, lay in a supply of food that will hold you, certainly a food, that long-term storage food, why, certainly we have an excellent catalog, and you'll get the prices. You'll get the food at very competitive prices. It'll help Radio Liberty. So if you'd like to get a catalog, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, a ready reserve food catalog. But, you know, and of course, you'll get maybe your wheat and other things elsewhere because they're heavy to ship, but there's so many things that you do need and you do want to have in hand. And we're moving into a period of chaos and crisis, as you're going to learn during this next hour, when we talk about the Military Commissions Act, when we talk about the John Warner National Defense Act, and when we talk about the concentration camps that Halliburton is building. Our government is planning for a chaotic situation lying ahead. And if you haven't made preparations to look after yourself, you may have to move into one of those detention camps simply for food. You've got to begin to make plans to protect yourself. There are wicked and evil people who would destroy this country and would destroy freedom because they dream a different dream. They worship a different God. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you want the food catalog or regular catalog or a health catalog.
Good morning, honey. Wow, the weather is beautiful, the cabin is terrific, and it's the first day of our vacation.
Yeah.
Honey, is there something wrong?
Yeah, I just realized we forgot to pack the travel Berkey system. I can't drink this cabin water. And what am I going to do when I'm out on the lake? Now the whole vacation is ruined.
Honey, cheer up. I brought our Sport Berkey purifiers.
What?
Yeah, I know you're picky about not having pathogenic bacteria, organic chemicals, heavy metals, or foul tastes, and...
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests. And, well, today we have with us John Klar, K-L-A-R. And John is a fascinating guest, and we've had him on before, but I asked him to come back on again, first of all, because he's a lawyer, and he can understand this legislation that has been enacted recently, the Military Commissions Act, the John Warner, you know, National Defense Act, and certainly the implications of these, because they are have transformed the world in which we live. Now, why would the president pass these things through with almost no debate, and why would a liberal senator, Patrick Leahy of Connecticut, have said, this legislation encourages the president to declare martial law. This legislation encourages the president to declare martial law, and I believe that's absolutely true. What does President Bush and the people who control President Bush, because remember, he doesn't do any of these things on his own, he's simply a figurehead for the men who pull the strings behind the scenes. But they are planning on an authoritarian society, and so I'm going to let John explain to you the implications of this draconian legislation, and where is the outcry across America. John Klar, thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you, Doctor. It's a pleasure to be here, as always.
All right, fine. Well, now, remember, this is a different audience, so you can be repetitive. Just go ahead and tell the story of what you've learned actually reading this legislation.
Well, thank you. And if I could, before I do that, let me preface it a little bit with just where I'm coming from. As you'll recall, Doctor, I had spent my life in without faith. And when I became a Christian, I prayed for faith. I wanted faith, but I couldn't just bootstrap myself into it. And through this horrible illness I've had, I came to have a profound belief in a higher power and that we have more to do in life than collect toys and before we kick the bucket. And I was really struck by the lack of conviction and passion in many Christians. When I became a Christian, I expected from my reading of the New Testament to have this great new world in front of me, and I just found so many Christians, they say they have faith, but they don't walk the walk. And I've found that right now in America's media, in the Christian media as well, there are a lot of mistruths being told to American people and to American Christians. And it really upsets me. And that's why I just think it's wonderful what you're doing and shows like yours that are trying to seek truth rather than to further an agenda. And I think that that's what where we're coming from right now. And when we look at these statutes, that's why I really want to ask your listeners to be Christ-centered and say, what would God have us do if he were down here telling us what laws to pass? Because, as you'll recall, my book is a critique of the Bush administration, but really of America's Christians. And in asking them to take a hard look at Bush, I'm asking them to take a hard look at themselves and at their country. I don't judge George Bush's heart, but I think many Christians have judged his heart to be good without looking at the consequences of his actions and policies, and they're not listening to Christ. So as we go through these acts, I want to talk about what man's law is, and you say, I can understand this legislation because I'm a lawyer. Well, I'm also a Christian, And I can't understand the morality of this legislation.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment with our special guest this afternoon, John Clarke. And he's had a terrible problem, a medical problem. But, of course, this is led into the Lord, and, of course, it's given him an opportunity to have the time to do this. He's written a fascinating book. It's called Christian Words and Christian Actions. And we'll be telling you a little later in the program how you can get the book. And it is really going into critique, not necessarily of the Bush administration, although this certainly is mentioned, but what's happened to Christianity today? Where are our Christian leaders? Why are they speaking out against the torture? When was the last time you heard any major Christian leader saying torture is wrong and a Christian nation and Christian leaders should not be authorizing it? Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Mr. John Clarke, and he has written a fascinating book called Christian Words and Christian Actions, talking about what's really going on today and many of the contradictions. And, of course, one of those major contradictions is how can Christians and Christian leaders and the Christian people in our government authorize and condone torture? I mean, there is no way that you can as a Christian, no matter what you say, well, the people on the other side are nasty, so we've got a right to be nasty. We've got to be nasty. Well, we certainly, as ruthless as the people were in Vietnam, we never publicly condoned this. Yes, there were things that went along in Project Phoenix or Operation Phoenix in Vietnam, but the American people didn't know about it, and of course they did not condone it. And yet the American people are condoning, you know, kidnapping people and taking them to secret prisons and torturing them, and they may be perfectly innocent. But think about their cries. Think about their screams. I can remember a reading, of course, a book by Whittaker Chambers many years ago, who was a dedicated communist. But he said, you know, at times in the middle of the night, he'd think of the people screaming in the Soviet prisons. And, of course, he knew it was wrong, but he always repressed the sound and the cries. And, of course, the Nazi people in Nazi Germany did the same thing. The good Christians there, they knew what was going on. They could hear the Jews screaming when they were in the trains being taken to Auschwitz and the other Buchenwald and the other places, but they just, in their church services, they just sang a little louder. But what are the Christians in America doing today? When the President of the United States and the entire administration has authorized torture, and where is the outcry? Well, John, you go ahead and pick up the story.
Well, thank you, and as you know, this is something that I feel strongly about, and I'm amazed that more Christians are not up in arms. And it's because of their fearfulness and perhaps their feeling powerless in this country and in this world that they do so. But that's not what God in Christ teaches us to do. Our morality should not be dictated or measured by the conduct of our enemies, and we sink to the lowest common denominator of human conduct. As Christians, we're called to put on the new self, and even in the Old Testament, to respond to our enemies with love and kindness. This is why Christ came to the earth, as far as I understand it. This is why he came, to break that cycle. So our morality as Americans, and particularly as American Christians, should not be decided by the conduct of our enemies. As I say in the book, I understand how secular Americans may say, yeah, let's torture them. Well, when you don't have a moral code.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment, Sean. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and John was just commenting that he can understand how secular people in America could say, torture's all right, you know, after all, we gotta protect ourselves from these wicked terrorists, and they might be terrorists, we don't know where they are now, but we'll just torture them until they confess, and then they confess, well, if we know they were guilty, or do we know they're guilty? Under torture, would you confess to things you hadn't done? But if we could understand how people who are not Christians could get on that, how can Christians condone it? Pick up the story, John.
Well, thank you. And again, when we address this issue, maybe we should look at the totality of our nation's conduct right now. We're not only torturing and debating whether or not it's torture, just a bizarre discussion, it seems to me, amongst Christians. And frankly, that's part of the problem, is that the Christian community and our Christian leaders seem to be silent on this, and they haven't had the major public debate that we should be having, both on the morality of torture, but also on the Iraq War. What about the erosion of our rights, which is the legislation that we're going to talk about now, when we look at the totality of it, we see a pattern of actions that are uniformly, almost, it seems, unchristian. And we see a dramatic increase in the power of the federal government, which we know is dominated by corporate interests, whose morality is the maximization of profit. And we cannot trust either the Democrats or the Republicans to be responsive to American needs anymore, particularly the Christians. And they've created a cultural dispute in this country to deceive us and give us some false hope, but they haven't really accomplished anything morally. The Military Commissions Act of 2006 is an effort to codify or allow the kind of torture that Bush was already conducting. Some of the things that I found that were interesting that we may not have heard in the mainstream press were that it seems to anticipate right at the beginning that George Bush may create some more military commissions in the event of a declaration of martial law.
Now, of course, you're talking about military commissions in the United States.
Yes, sir.
And of course, this is one of the frightening things. Most people think that these military commissions are only for those wicked enemy combatants, but they're talking about declaring martial law in the United States. And they're talking about, in the John Warner Act, they're talking about using the National Guard, the military, against American citizens. And under those circumstances, anybody who objected could be considered a military combatant and would be subject to the laws of the Military Commissions Act. So pick up the story there, John.
Well, it's unprecedented in our history, and many Americans may not be sufficiently upset because they don't understand the importance of these foundations. But the Military Commissions Act is dramatically expanding the government's power, eliminating a number of constitutional guarantees for people charged in these commissions. Now, the act by its terms says that it only applies to aliens. But there are two problems with that. One is unlawful enemy combatant is so broad that it's basically, we now have a government sort of like a Soviet-style government where a government official says, you're an enemy combatant. And that's the end of it. And the second part is there's no habeas corpus or other right to appeal that determination. The courts don't even, by the terms of this act, don't even have the power to question whether someone's an enemy combatant. Once President Bush or his tribunals determine someone is, it's conclusive. So how is it if you were an American citizen and you were detained by the U.S. government and called an enemy combatant that you would have a forum or an opportunity to present your citizenship to show that you are exempt from this when you don't have a right of habeas corpus? There's a great opportunity for abuse of our constitutional rights here. But moreover, why are we abandoning our constitutional rights? Why are we abandoning the authority of God in how we treat other human beings? We're carving out an exception to our constitutional rights. We're saying in the name of safety, but we're also carving out a huge exception to God's law and our obligations to God. So we are accepting ourselves from God's grace, I think. I think we are very much abandoning God in our fearfulness.
And, of course, the question is, why is the administration so intent upon doing this? And, of course, extending this with the potential into this country as we prepare for martial law in the United States. And the next act, of course, the John Warner Act, specifically takes away the ability of the governor to control the National Guard, repeals the Posse Comitatus Act, and allows the president to use the military against our civilians in total violation of all of our concepts. Police are for policing. The purpose of the military is to kill people and destroy things. So why does he want to use the military against American citizens? And why would he suspend Posse Comitatus? And why would they, of course, create a situation, certainly with the Military Commission Act, where no court could intervene? And the habeas right of habeas corpus is inherent in our whole English law going back for, you know, centuries. Habeas corpus was the one thing we had in Anglo-American law that, unlike in most other countries, and the president has done away with it and put in a provision so the courts cannot even intervene. What madness is that, and where is the outcry? Why would the president want to destroy the very foundations of our law in this country in the name of fighting the wicked Osama bin Laden, who he has absolutely refused to go after, and when he could have gotten him, when he had the opportunity to get him in Afghanistan back in 2001, they refused to allow to use American troops, and they allowed Osama bin Laden to escape. And because Osama bin Laden escaped, then we attacked Iraq. And now, of course, we've got to take away the freedom of the American people because we're involved in a war on terrorism. It doesn't really quite make sense, John.
Well, it makes sense if we look at the big picture being, as you know, the fight between good and evil. That's the ultimate battle, and that's where we Christians should be keeping our eye. Because what we see throughout history is that worldly powers will create fear or sense or chaos out of which they will gain control. Ben Franklin mentioned it, as you know, he who would abandon his liberty for security deserves neither. But God tells us this too. God tells us to fear God and not to fear man and not to be trying to save our own lives. The Posse Comitatus Act was designed to protect civilians from the violence that our military is trained, for obvious reasons, to be capable of employing. You're correct. Why? That's a good question. Why would President Bush change that so much? This is not just giving him a little more power to respond to a Katrina. This is a major change in the whole structure of the American federalist system. When the states signed up for the deal, they were supposed to be retaining some rights, which we see gradually eroding. We no longer have the protection of our governors in the 50 states between us and the federal government as to the use of our National Guard troops that can now be used by the federal government against us to quell rebellion. The glaring thing about this act, the John Warner National Defense Authorization Act, is that once again it gives this dramatic carte blanche power to George W. Bush to declare when there's an emergency. And it says by its terms that when he does declare an emergency, that it'll be by definition that he'll be protecting us and our constitutional rights. It's the same old thing of giving with one hand while taking away with the other, promising protection while doing the opposite and taking away our safeties and protections with Christian words and then unchristian actions. This act is a dramatic power grab by the federal government, all done, both of these, on the eve of the elections that they knew they very well might lose, and they wouldn't have been able to push this through. Now it would be very hard to reverse these. And the federal government now, this creates the power of the Department of Defense to supply the National Guard troops to be used around the country. They can be used in other states where previously they couldn't. And it creates a database for the federal government of the emergency response capabilities of the various states. So really, they're appropriating our militias to their use. And also, it gives the power to the federal government now to use the Marines and the Navy and the other armed forces against American citizens anytime George Bush essentially declares there's an emergency. The USA Patriot Act gives him similar power. He can suspend elections and maintain himself in power indefinitely. It's what I call a dictator.
Most people are going to say, but that could never happen here. After all, I mean, George Bush is a Christian. He'd never do that. But why don't they ever ask, well, what about the next president or the president after that? Once that power is there, you're never going to get it back again, because tyranny like hell is not easily conquered.
Well, that's true, and one must ask, why would the government secure such powers if it didn't intend to use them? Why is it that the legislation is anticipating the creation of more military tribunals in the event of the imposition of martial law if they don't expect to use it? Government only grows bigger, whether it's communism or any other, and the illusion in this country and the lie in this country is that we're somehow free and can trust our government to carry forward all of our heritage. It has thrown our heritage out the window just in a few short years, destroyed our goodwill internationally, and is moving many people towards the even extremism of Islam rather than Christianity because of the hypocrisy that the whole world sees. And this, not just this government, but this nation, the whole world says, why aren't Americans standing up for this? So people should be very concerned when Bush can have all of these sweeping powers that are pulled together all at once. And the best resource that I would refer people to would be their Bible, where we're told that those will come who will pretend to be Christians but will lead others astray. And much of what we see happening today seems to be a fulfillment of prophecy. As men have put their faith in technology and wealth and government and the dollar, we see the results once again, just like with Israel and Judah. When we turn away from God, we get our just deserts. And the whole purpose of this is so that we can turn back to him.
And I would like to suggest for the skeptic who's listening out there that you get on your computer and you Google in the word Halliburton, $385 million. Detention camps, and you'll find out that they have given Halliburton $385 million to build more detention camps, because there are already lots of them here in America. And they're the old army bases, but they're all prepared. You know, we're closing down the army bases, we're preparing them for, Well, for detainees, are we going to arrest all the illegal aliens? The president says we can't do that, so if we're not going to put the illegal immigrants in there, who are we going to put there? And why is it the appropriate $385 million to build new detention camps in the United States? And going along with this, now we see this new legislation suspends habeas corpus, suspends posse comitatus, which of course has been, you know, the law of America for over 100 years. And people have forgotten what our founding fathers realized, and that is that you can't trust men with power. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely, or it corrupts absolutely everyone. Even a good man can, of course, misuse power, thinking he's far better to misuse the power than let somebody else seize government and then use it against the people. Well, John, let's go ahead, and why don't you perhaps just go ahead and develop the ideas of what's in each one of these acts that is really so disturbing to you.
Well, we've gone over a few of them, and I could, some of the other provisions, I mean, it sounds like right out of an Orwell novel or right out of Stalin, you know, Stalin's era. We have secret ballots, and a two-third vote is required for conviction, although it requires a three-fourth vote for life imprisonment.
Now, this is under the Military Commission Act.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, of course, you don't have a regular rights that you would have in a regular trial, do you? Can't tortured evidence be used against the individual?
Yes, coerced testimony. Actually, they've put a date in evidence that, or testimony that was obtained by coercion or extreme interrogation methods prior to the passage of the act, or there's a date stated in there, is going to be admissible, but subsequent coerced testimony will not. But it's very sweeping. By its terms, it says that the U.S. Constitution does not apply. By its terms, it says that it does comply with the Geneva Convention, but it also, by its terms, says that nobody will be allowed to raise the Geneva Convention as a source of rights in the military tribunals. It doesn't just allow coerced testimony. It also allows hearsay, which is against our history. It permits indefinite detention, I think, still. They're trying to get better about that. And as you mentioned, the habeas corpus suspension. So really we have a whole host of history of our, really what are embodied in our Bill of Rights being suspended. And yet we have senators coming out and saying that they're proud of this act, that it's an embodiment of American values. It also contains terms that are ex post facto laws, which are, again, very draconian, and we don't use in this country, saying retroactively everything I did in that war was okay and I'm immune. We don't do that. That's abrogating the rule of law. If we compared that to Christianity, we can wipe out our past sins through repentance. But through worldly laws, this legislation seeks to wipe out past sins by the sweep of a pen, and that is not sufficient for God. So we see a whole host of issues with that act that are very much against our standards as Christians. The John Warner National Defense Authorization Act similarly takes away our powers and pretends to be helping us and protecting us while establishing more and more dominance and control over us. It seems to me, you ask, why would the government do this? Why does any man in history seek power? But in this case, this government has been run away for quite some time. We've had tremendous profligacy and debt. We're in big trouble. We're in economic decline. And they know this, and they know that the dollar is threatened. So they're prepared to, quote-unquote, help us by stepping into the breach and keeping Americans from preserving their rights, as far as I can see. But the basis for Christians should be to keep our focus on Christ. And in the Bible, we don't see Christians torturing others. We see the enemies of Christians torturing Christians over and over and over again. And we see God using torment or torture as a punishment for those who turn away from Him. But this act uses torture to achieve an end, and then by its terms says cruel and unusual punishment is banned. So as a consequence of punishment, this act says it won't torture, but to get people's convictions and send them to jail for life, you will use torture. God does it the other way around. He uses hardship to bring us closer to Him. But torture, or that kind of infliction of duress, is reserved for those who will be sent in the lake of fire. And Revelation has a great deal of stuff.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and John has actually outlined what's wrong with this legislation. Number one, it does away with the whole idea of habeas corpus. In these military tribunals, why military commissions, they can use hearsay. This is not allowed in our courts. You can have indefinite incarceration. In other words, you can have keep people locked up as long as you want to. And, of course, there's an ex post facto law in there as far as torture. If you tortured people in the past, why, of course, then you can you will not be subject to, you know, being have punishment if you simply were carrying out the government's orders and you tortured people. That's all right, because this law then makes it all right what you did in the past. And it's all right to use coerced, in other words, coerced testimony. If you tortured someone until they confessed, and they were screaming and they were confessing, you know, just to stop the pain, well, you can use that testimony. What madness is that? And where is the outcry from the Christian leaders of this country who should be, you know, screaming from every corner and every pulpit in this land saying this is wrong? Well, I believe that God brings judgment on nations that turn against Him. And this legislation is the most unchristian legislation I've ever seen. And believe me, you know, as Thomas Jefferson said, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, and His justice will not sleep forever. So pick this story up there, John.
Well, it's an excellent quote, because we should tremble as Christians for what our country has become. We're the world's capital of homosexuality and pornography and pedophilia, which the secular world doesn't seem to have any explanation for the explosion of that immorality in this morally relative climate, this humanistic climate that we have really given birth to and given so much fuel to in this country. And now we don't seem to, this society doesn't seem to have the responses to these problems. When we look to God's Word, we Christians have very clear guidance for our moral conduct and also how to conduct ourselves and what's expected of us now. And if we said, what would Jesus Christ do in the context of this act? Well, exactly, if he were charged, would he be an alien? Or would he be an enemy combatant? Would he be tortured to confess to something that he didn't do? Would Jesus be an interrogator for this government? I think this is very unchristian legislation. The thing that astonishes me is that it is patently unchristian legislation. It is incontrovertibly. There is no defense in Christ that can be made for this. Jesus was a torturee, not a torturer, and we're now a nation of torturers, and we bicker about whether waterboarding is torture or not. I'm not sure if your listeners know, but the worst pictures from Abu Ghraib have never been released to the American public. They're a national security secret because of the turmoil that would result. We also know that the Quran very definitely was desecrated. The Red Cross confirmed it, 13 cases, I believe, of desecration of the Quran. But our media was forced to retract the truth story because of the furor that would result. What about in the rest of the world? They haven't been similarly deceived. When we look at Scripture, we see how torture is viewed. I think I told you I did a concordance study, and I found the use of the word torture once in the whole Bible, and it's in at least in this concordance. And in Hebrews 11, Paul is writing about those who suffered for Christ, and many who died, and some were saved. But he says, but others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prisons. Some died by stoning. Others were stoned in half or sawed in half. And he goes on and he says, they were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. Is that what we're enduring for Christ? We won't even endure the threat of a foreign country being angry with us when we start suddenly, as you also point out, many of these people can be held and detained, and many have been presumed guilty without any evidence against them whatsoever. This is turning everything that America ever stood for on its head, and it's sacrificing that and our Christian faith in the name of fear and security, which we cannot have without God.
There was a story that there was an Iraqi general, an Air Force general, who'd actually gone to the local police station to find out what had happened to his sons that disappeared after the Americans came in. He was arrested. He was tortured over a period of several days. He was stuffed into a sleeping bag and suffocated to death. and the man who did this said, well, gee, I didn't really mean to kill him. And he was tried, and he was exonerated, and everybody in the audience was cheering and laughing, and they were so happy that this man who tortured this general after torturing him for several days had gotten off scot-free. And where is the outcry? What's happened to the soul of America? Are you concerned? I'm concerned. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment or two with John Clark. And, of course, I think it is so vitally important that people understand what John is saying. What did Christ do under these circumstances? Are we directing this country, our Christian leaders, simply blindly backing this because it's the Christian leaders who are backing the current administration, not the liberals, it's the Christian leaders? What's wrong with this picture? Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is John Clark, and we're simply talking about this new legislation, the Military Commission Act, the John Warner National Defense Appropriations Act, and how this is dramatically changing America. And John certainly is expressing his concern, and I think there should be a moral outrage across America. I'm not surprised that evil men would do things like this. I'm surprised that the Christians and the Christian leaders would not be speaking out. So you pick up the story there, John.
Well, thank you. That is the crisis that is facing us, that we as a nation, and particularly the Christians in this nation, are simply not addressing the most important issues confronting us. We haven't dealt with the problems of Social Security. We haven't dealt with the problems of our debt. We haven't dealt with a lot of problems in this country. But we're not dealing with the core issue of our moral fiber and what it is, what our values are as they deteriorate around us. When we look at these things happen, it's really imperative that we spread the word of Christ, because that's the only way out or avenue out for America right now, for us individually, if not as a nation. And we're told in the Bible that false prophets will come, that those will come and will pretend to be Christians and will lead others astray. Why are we told that? Because it will happen. Paul said it over and over again. Jesus said it over and over again. And people quote from their Bible all the time, but you don't hear them remembering these cautions. We're told that people, that Christians, will be deceived by false leaders. Then that's what's going to happen. We're told in an imperative way. Paul says over and over, he said that he cried trying to tell people. This is really, really important to Paul. We're told that people will take the mark, 666, that perhaps that's microchips. And Christians will say, I would never do that. How quickly will they take that mark if their food or their gasoline is hanging on the balance? And how quickly will they stand down from Christ in doing so? This is why we need to be apprised of the Word of God, why we need to have it written in our hearts, so that we're not deceived by these people that we're told we have no excuse, we're coming. And we will suffer for the activities of our leaders. We will be held accountable before God. So that's the message. The message is, not just to George Bush, not just to those who spread this legislation and the Alan Dershowitzes of the world, but to every listener out there, every Christian out there who thought that they could support this by our government, they should look to Christ's words and God's words, to the holy words of Paul and others. Paul says in Philippians 3:18, he says, "For I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows that they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, like waterboarding, and they think only about this life here on earth."
Hold that thought. We'll
That's
be back
most
in,
Christians.
Yes. Be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is John Clark. And John, before we go on, I'm going to ask if you would like to get your website out, tell people how they can get your book, Christian Words, Unchristian Actions.
Well, thank you, Doctor. I often forget to do that. And it is a great resource, and I do encourage people to have a look even at the website and just see the kind of information is there. This is a research project that includes a lot of material for people to look at and make their own judgments. I don't ask people to listen to me, but to listen to Christ and the great speakers that I've included in that book. My website is www.christianwords.us for people who might not have the web. The book can be purchased from my Christian publisher at 877 421 7323. The website again is www.christianwords.us, and the toll-free number is 877-421-7323. And I thank you, Doctor.
Well, I think it's important that we stop and think about this John Warner National Defense Appropriations Act, because basically it says that the president has the right to declare martial law in cases of disaster. Well, like Katrina, or maybe some sort of an earthquake or something of that sort. Or if there's an epidemic. In other words, if they should... imagine, you know, that these terrible new diseases that they're creating back at Fort Detrick, Maryland, and ladies and gentlemen, they're working back there, they're violating all the treaties we've signed, and they're creating all sorts of horrible new deadly diseases for which there's no treatment at all. But you have to understand, we're doing that only defensively. These are defensive new diseases, not aggressive new diseases. So if one of those diseases should get out of the laboratory, as the anthrax did here right after September 11th, why, of course, we could have a major epidemic. They're actually working, trying to make the bird flu more aggressive so that it'll actually be more communicable between people. Why would you do something like that? Why would you try to make a deadly disease that is killing birds, spread into human beings, and then between human beings? Why would you do some bizarre experiments like that? Or they can, of course, if there was simply civilian unrest, they can actually declare martial law. The president can do this, and as Senator Patrick Leahy said, not quoted, of course, by Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or most of the people in the media, but Senator Patrick Leahy said this legislation encourages the president to declare martial law. What are your thoughts about that? Why would the president want this ability suddenly to declare martial law all across America?
Well, and I think what Mr. Leahy was saying, one of our Vermont representatives here, what he was saying is that this legislation almost invites a president, perhaps this one, to declare martial law, because think of how well it could be used politically, for one thing. It's so easy, the sweep of a pen. If we had anything like a significant race riots or anything like that, the president could just step in, and he could very well quell opposition that way. That perhaps should be the thing that people are most concerned about. Yes, it's broad in its language. It could cover an epidemic or a natural disaster and civilian unrest, as you say. It also, the USA Patriot Act gives the federal government now, and Mr. Bush, the power to seize our gasoline, our automobiles, and our food supplies in the event of a national emergency, which, by the way, he gets to define again by the sweep of a pen, co-signed by Alberto Gonzalez, and boom, the government owns everything, and the government is in control.
Of course, we know that George Bush would never do anything like that. I mean, he's an honorable man, but what about the next president? And the thing is, if once this, of course, is the law of the land, you can't repeal it, because you'd have to have two-thirds of the senators could override a veto, because George Bush would certainly veto any effort to undo this. So this will be very, very difficult ever to change.
Well, and I think, I frankly don't think we're going to change it. I think that this government is going to tighten the noose around our necks, and we're going to see some horrible oppression eventually towards true Christians who protest that this violates God's law. And I think that that's God's plan. And I'm okay with that, because that's the great harvest of souls. The only purpose I have in this world is to make the wheat come forward. And that's why I'm trying to spread the word to people. What are we going to say as Christians when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ? Oh, well, I supported torture and turned the other way because, let's see, fill in the blank. When we're told Hebrews 10:29, Paul tells us, just think how much worse the punishment will be for those who have trampled on the Son of God and have treated the blood of the covenant which made us holy as if it were common and unholy, and have insulted and disdained the Holy Spirit who brings God's mercy to us. If I say I'm a Christian like George Bush does, and then I advance torture policies, which he had even worse before this act, just think how much worse the punishment will be, Paul tells us. I can be punished forever. I can be tortured by Satan forever because I'm a torturer now in this world. I'd rather be tortured for 100 years in Abu Ghraib than tortured forever in hell because I abandoned my God. And that's what Americans are doing today. So Americans who call themselves Christian, who take this torture business lightly, do so at grave peril. And Paul and Jesus told us very, very clearly about these kinds of things to forewarn us with tears, because they knew many would be misled. We need to bring truth to people so that they won't be misled away from Christ anymore. That's what's happening in America today.
If any of you really have any questions about this, we have some wonderful video footage. And actually, of course, part of this comes from the Iran-Contra hearings. It's in our amazing clips. And you'll actually hear Congressman Jack Brooks during the hearings asking Oliver North about the legislation, secret legislation that he was working on, had been working on in the Reagan White House, to suspend the Constitution and arrest American citizens. And you'll hear Senator Inouye repeatedly interrupting because he doesn't want this to be out because this is being broadcast on C-SPAN. And finally, Inouye, Senator Inouye, cuts off the discussion saying, we cannot discuss this here. We can discuss this in private or secret sessions. So, obviously, they don't want the American people. But then you'll hear Congressman Henry Gonzalez, saying, yes, the only person who really got close to the truth was Congressman Jack Brooks. There really is a plan, in case of a national emergency, to suspend the Constitution and arrest American citizens and put them in concentration camps. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not talking about something imaginary. We're talking about something very real. Would you like to, Chris, if you have a question or comment for John, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. This is the most draconian legislation that has ever been enacted during my lifetime, and there's not an outcry at all for many of our Christian leaders. So, John, certainly as we go through and we just list all the freedoms we lost, and it was just last month, it was the middle of October, and this was put through while our attention was focused on what was going on in Iraq as our boys were over there fighting and dying, and this great diversion, because that's really what it is, as we send our boys overseas to fight for freedom, why our government is passing laws, enacting laws to take away our freedom here at home. And we've got Mike calling in, and so let's go to Mike here and see what his thoughts are. Mike, is that you?
Hello. Hey, Stan?
Yes, who's this?
Hi, it's Charlotte.
Oh, hi, Charlotte. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Fine. Did you have a question?
No. Letitia called.
Okay, fine. Well, then we'll go to Mike, and I'll put you on hold, and you can talk to Letitia. Hi, Mike. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Stan. Two things real quick. One is that I don't believe torture is necessary at all, really, for extracting the truth from anybody. There are psychological means and drug means to extract truth very easily from people. And I have to conclude, based on that idea anyhow, that these people, whoever they are in our government, and I believe their faces and names have never been known to us, they just want to torture for the sake of torture.
All right, let's get your thoughts on that, John. Mike is saying, look, torture is not an effective way of getting information. If you want to, you can use all sorts of coercion. You can use psychological techniques. You can use drugs. You can get information if you really want to get it. Mike is saying that he almost thinks that we have people who have a macabre desire to inflict terrible pain on others and hear them screaming. What are your thoughts on that? Could that possibly be true? Or are we really involved in a war on terrorism? Are we trying to defend America? Or are we really dealing with the ultimate evil?
Well, I think that we are dealing with the ultimate evil. It's always a matter of degree, I suppose. The FBI has determined that such coarse testimony is unreliable, and they've actually come out throughout this and been very vocal about that. Our military has likewise said that such information is usually worthless, and it's certainly not worth exposing our troops to similar techniques.
And, of course, if we are torturing others, then how can we object when other people torture our people?
Well, there's another threat, Stan, to our troops that I don't think most Americans are thinking about, which is that because of our reputation as being soldiers and military that shows mercy to our prisoners of war, many people have often quickly surrendered to us. Not the Japanese, but certainly the Iraqis. The Iraqis in this war, probably one of the reasons it was so easy, is they were looking for better treatment at the hands of the Americans than they were getting in their own military. But no more. They will fight to the death now, especially dealing with people who are Muslim and see them, you know, they're being totally humiliated from a religious perspective.
And of course, it's said that in Abu Ghraib today, which we've turned over to the Iraqi government, there's far more torture than there ever was under the wicked Saddam Hussein. But of course, we could stop this tomorrow. But our leaders don't seem to think that's important. After all, we certainly don't want to interfere with this government we've established there.
Well, and getting back to Mike's point, what we could look at is that this is all being headed and initiated by a man who's an avowed, proud member of Skull and Bones. He said he was honored to be selected for Skull and Bones. Skull and Bones do some creepy things, and George Bush and company have never disavowed that. And they swear loyalty to powers other than Christ, that's for sure. So that people like that, one of their central tenets is to use deception and whatever means to suppress or for loyalty and secrecy. So you mentioned earlier about the deception of our Congress about the some different things. Well, the torture techniques are secret. The money that's being spent on the war we're being deceived about. The money that the federal government has incurred in debt we're being deceived about. We were deceived about Abu Ghraib, about foreign rendition, which is now clearly was true. We were deceived about wiretapping. We were Joe Wilson. Look what happened to him. Christ said we'd know them by their fruits. Their fruits are torture, death, carpet bombs, and landmines. It's pretty obvious if we choose to heed our God.
And, of course, recently they were trying to get legislation through that if you'd been tortured, you were not allowed to talk about being tortured. And so they're going to pass a law that restricts people's ability and right to talk about being tortured. What sort of madness is that? And, of course, if you've read any of the stories about, you know, certainly the sergeants and the corporals and the PFCs who were involved in torture in Abu Ghraib, they'd been ordered to do what they did. They'd been ordered to do it by not necessarily even their superiors, but by the other people that were there who obviously were CIA operatives who were doing the questioning and they told these people working in the prisons, you know, to soften the people up so that, and these were not military personnel, but they could give orders. In fact, many times they outranked the military officers because in many respects this is a secret war. This is a CIA war. Just as Vietnam was a CIA war, just as Afghanistan is a CIA war. We have an organization that is not answerable to Congress or to anybody else. In fact, you know, they have, of course, congressional oversight. But who did they have in charge of the Congressional Oversight Committee? Why, it was a man named Porter Goss, a lifelong member of the CIA, who, after, of course, he was the head of the Intelligence Committee. He became the co-chairman of the committee that was supposed to look into 9-1-1, the Joint Select Committee, initially. And then they appointed him chairman or director of the Central Intelligence Agency. Well, we've got Ron on the line from Arizona. Thanks so much, Mike. And go ahead, Ron. Did you have a question or comment?
Yes, Dr. Stamm, Mr. Clark. I just wanted to alert you that on the Lou Dobbs show tonight, he had a special on George Bush is giving away the airlines to foreign companies.
Oh, well, of course, what they're doing, they're creating situations where so many of our industries, major industries here, are being bought up by foreign companies.
Right.
You know, in fact, in my tsunami syllabus, coming tsunami syllabus, you'll be amazed to find out how many of the major corporations that are as American as apple pie are no longer American.
Yeah, well, this couldn't have come about except for 9/11, because 9/11 caused all the major airlines to go into Chapter 11. Restructured, had to get gigantic loans from the government.
All right. Well, of course, certainly, I don't know which specific airlines he's speaking of, but we'll have to look into that. Anything else you'd like to say, Ron?
No, I have one other thing. Just this needs to get into the churches. Somehow, people listening have to get Terror Storm or any of the videos that cover the martial law strategies of the Bush gang. And get it to the pastors, alert the people, because these are people in the churches are mostly Republican, at least the churches I go to, and they're all voting for this stuff, and they don't know the truth about it.
They are the major supporters for the torture regime we have in Washington, D.C. today. It's the Christians. I mean, most of the people who voted in this last election, you know, for the Republicans, were the Christians.
Yeah.
Anyway,
oh, yes.
Thanks very much for calling, Ron.
Okay.
How would you comment on what Ron was saying, John?
Well, I concur. We see our country being sold out. Look what's happening on our borders. And now Fig Newtons, I read recently, are made in Mexico. Not that I have anything against Mexicans, but I thought that was an American food. Something else you hit upon again, though, that we see here is we see a pattern of deception. You mentioned the soldiers being blamed as a few bad apples for carrying out the orders that those true few bad apples at the top told them to conduct. We see 9/11 and the people who were killed in those attacks being used as an excuse to justify war against Iraq that had nothing to do with it. And we see this government selling not just airlines, but bridges and roads and putting highways through and selling our rights because they're making meetings and agreements with foreign nations to change our whole structure of our government and our economy without consulting the American people or our elected representatives. We have been hoodwinked. The hijacking that's really occurred was not of a couple of airplanes. It was of our entire government and the whole structure. And they know that the alternative media and the Internet are being used for Americans to start to wake up and realize that the mass media are lying to us pathologically. And that's why all those poor Christians that are supporting the Republicans are not intentionally evildoers. They simply are uninformed. Are they willfully ignorant? I don't know. And when we stand before God, I don't know that that's going to be an excuse, whether I was willfully or otherwise ignorant. The latest thing I hear your music coming in, Doctor.
Go right ahead. I'll tell you when to stop. Go ahead.
The latest thing I hear is that many are saying Glenn Beck is a commentator I was watching the other day, and they're saying that the deterioration in the civil war in Iraq is being caused because of the lack of cohesive support at home. And that's another lie. This was predicted beforehand by Middle East experts. This is all right by the game plan, and they don't want to own it or take responsibility for what they did. Unrepented sin leads to more sin.
Amen. And we're going to be back in just a moment to wrap up today's program right here at Radio Liberty. Well, John, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up today's program.
Well, I thank you, sir. I would reiterate passionately that American Christians who are allowing fear in this government to lead them are embarking on the exact path that Jesus Christ and Paul told us over and over not to embark on, to stay true to him, to not be afraid. Revelation tells us, Revelation 2:10, don't be afraid of what you are about to suffer. The suffering that's coming at the hands of our own government is nothing compared to the threats of these foreign enemies. And we need to be prepared for that, and that's why God wants us to be equipped with his word and an understanding of what's happening so that we won't be afraid and we can be a beacon of light to others in this darkness and bring them to trust God for their food and provision rather than this increasingly Hitlerian or draconian government. This is not the America I was taught that I was living in. And if I weren't a Christian, I'd be just about going nuts right now.
Well, I know exactly how you feel. And, of course, if it weren't that I really feel that I'm where God wants me to be, I'd be frightened to death as well. And we're certainly on the front lines of this battle. And now you're on the front lines of the battle too, John. And we're going to have to trust in the Lord. We're going to have to do our best. But in the final analysis, why God will give us the strength to take care of what lies ahead. So I think right now it's so important for us to challenge Christians, to point out to them there is judgment, not only, you know, in the next, certainly in the next world for what we do, but since God cannot punish countries in the next world, only in this world, I believe God is going to bring terrible judgment on the United States because of the policies that our leaders have brought upon us. And we can't say that we don't know, because if you've listened to a program like this, you've listened to our other programs, if you're in the listening audience, you know what's going on is wrong. And the only thing is you can really say is, well, I was afraid, or maybe the truth of the matter is, I didn't care. And that, of course, would be a terrible, terrible thing to say. Equally frightening would be the thought of going to, standing before the pearly gates and telling God what a great person you'd been, and hearing those most frightening of all words, I never knew you. And they say, but I prophesied in your name. I cast out all sorts of the demonic spirits in your name. And those words, I never knew you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be judged for what we've done here on earth. And I believe that there's a lot of false teaching going on out there. that are confusing Christians about their responsibility. Men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. John Clark, thank you so very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure.
Likewise. Thank you, Doctor.
Bye-bye and God bless.
God bless you.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course we hope that many of you will really want to get some information on what's gone on in the past. We have a wonderful book written by Erwin Lutzer. It's called Hitler's Cross. Erwin Lutzer is a senior pastor at the Moody Bible Church in Chicago, and he writes about what happened in Hitler's Germany, how the ministers went right along with it. The ministers went right along with Adolf Hitler. There were a few who had the courage to speak out. We know their names, Bonhoeffer and Niemöller and the others, but most of them went along because, after all, they were getting money from the government. They were getting subsidized from the government, just like our churches are with their 501c3 donations, and they didn't have the faith in God to take a stand against evil. I hope many of you, of course, will want to get the material we have on concentration camps. We have a 4-tape set on concentration camps. We have something called Barbed Wire of America. You can actually get the amazing clips in Barbed Wire of America and our 4-tape set on concentration camps, even some written material. You know, the military guide to the use of civilians in detention camps. Oh, everything's all planned out. The plans have been there for a long time. That's a concentration camp special. Get the information. Watch it. Copy it. Get it into the hands of others. This is what our play is to you. And if you doubt what we're saying, you go onto Google and you type in Halliburton, $385 million, detention camps, and see if we're telling you it's true. And if it is, then understand where we're headed. And are you going to just sit back and do nothing? Are you going to be willing to take a stand and fight for America? And I'm not talking about taking up arms. But, you know, if you expect to enjoy the blessings of freedom, you're going to have to be willing to fight for it. And we fight for it 5 hours a day behind a microphone, trying to make people wake up to see what's going on. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We hope many of you out there will want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us as we reach out across America 5 hours a day. We hope you'll get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, which will introduce you into the other dimension. There really is another spiritual dimension. Many of you out there in the audience may watch the program. It's on tonight. It's called Medium on NBC. This is the story of a woman named Alison DeBoam, who helps the district attorney catch the bad guys. The trouble is, there really was an Alison DeBoam who did have supernatural powers, who did help the district attorney and her community get the bad guys. But, of course, she was communicating with the other dimension. There is another dimension that is working behind the scenes and energizing our political, yes, and even many of our religious leaders to mislead the people of this country away from what we once were. And that was the beacon of light and the beacon of hope for all mankind. At one time, we were truly a Christian nation towards where we are today and where we're headed. If there is not a great revival in America and a turning back to God, and our plea to you is understand we're involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political battlefield, and God is going to judge this country, and he's going to judge everybody listening to this program. And if you believe the message is being taught in our churches today that God would never punish anybody or send them to hell, I think you better go back and read the Bible. We've got a wonderful 4-tape set on Whatever Happened to Hell. Jesus Christ spoke far more about hell than he ever spoke about heaven. But, of course, we don't teach that in our churches today. We're very selective in what we teach. And many of our religious leaders, some of them are members of the Council on Foreign Relations, and this whole elite movement, and some of the most influential Christian leaders, certainly the most influential Christian leader in America is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, a satanic organization originating in the occult, because the council is simply a front for a secret society that was created by Cecil Rhodes. And if you read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, it all came out of the occult. What's the purpose of the council? To create a one-world government and a new world religion. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, pray for our leaders and ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision. and our protection. And again, our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV. War.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
On the Information Radio Network, I'm Laura Lee Shaw. President Bush's high-stakes meeting with Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Malik in Jordan is not happening, at least not today. Mark Smith is with the president.
The two-day meeting was supposed to start at a palace here in the Jordanian capital, with King Abdullah playing host. But the opening session was abruptly canceled. The White House denies it's a snub and stresses another session planned for the morning is still on. However, the cancellation follows the leak of a White House memo raising questions about Nouri al-Maliki's ability to curb sectarian bloodshed. It also follows the announcement a key Shiite faction is boycotting Iraq's government to protest the prime minister's coming here.
The federal government is under court order to once again make housing payments to people displaced by Hurricane Katrina. A judge is also